growing struggle. Die is the rule and protect of I and I life. Roman abroad. Come together, see some tribal wars and fight. Who knows better or to better? A course of talent is inside. May not be exposed to education, but surely no far from right. Africans with African pride. Fighting to attain number right. Want no more heading up good for this nation to move forward. Africans with African pride. Fighting to attain. One no more, heading up good. For this nation to move forward. Self-help within a motivation. The time to be self-sufficient. No one to depend on no one. For attainment of my brain.
Welcome. Welcome to Big Bap and Friends. I am your host, Big Bap. So let's go ahead and do this like we normally do it. So let's go ahead and get relaxed. Get naked, pour you a glass of wine, and get comfortable. Pull your old lady close to you, if she still like you, because Valentine's happened, and some of y'all still try to sneak out with your side pieces, so she don't like you no more today. But let's get comfortable. Let's enjoy the show. But before we get real good, real deep, and get real extra, let's go ahead and bring my girl Helen in the building. Y'all know I got to bring A.K.A. Lucy, A.K.A. Luciana in the building. What it do, shawty?
Hold on. You forgot the last part. Luciana, if you nasty, come on now. I'm going to need you to get it together.
First of all, ma'am, I'm not finna be talking all of that for you now. You got to tell them niggas that.
I mean, if you won't give me an introduction, do it right, or you can just leave it at Helen. You can't go into all the AKAs and not put the oomph behind it. Like Jack said, put some oomph in.
Ma'am, I have no reference for your vagina, so what we're not going to do is tell me. I need to speak on behalf of your kitty cat.
You know what? That got nothing to do with nothing. You just be going too far. Anywho, what's up? How y'all doing today? Y'all happy to be back. We here.
We in the building? I'm happy today.
I don't
today
know how come I'm going to be here because they who chat?
Who did it?
Uh-oh, hold on, I'm about to get muted. I said, woo child, hold on, wait. Don't do it, I'm sorry.
Lucy,
I'm
you
so
ain't gonna
sorry.
What you're not going to do is you're not going to do the production manager today. All right, man, hold on now. We only got two-thirds of the team in here, so let me go ahead and get the third member of the crew in the house. Big D back in the building. What a do, player?
What's going on, player?
Man, listen, we done missed you a few shows in a row, so I know the crew been missing your voice, so go ahead and tell them what you've been up to.
I ain't been up to too much, man. You know, just living life, man, staying out of the way. You know how it goes.
That's what's up, man. So, listen, let's go ahead and get into the fun parts of the show, because we got stuff to talk about, because life has been happening. So I just want to know, and I want to say this for all the people that have been giving me the laughter that y'all have been giving. Y'all have lived up to the highest expectations that a brother of my stupid caliber can enjoy. Y'all have been posting these videos of y'all and y'all children falling in this snow and on this ice. And, baby, when I tell y'all, I don't care if you've been 2 months or 100 years, I have been laughing my ass off. It's amazing. All these years later, people still don't know how to handle ice. D, what the weather look like where you at?
Cold as shit. hey, I don't know, man. I've been doing this shit all my life, so you know what I mean. Ain't nothing new.
Oh, shit.
Bruh. And it's crazy because you got places that never really see snow like that talking about, bro, we covered in foot of snow.
like Texas.
Bro, Texas is struggling. We gonna get on Texas a little later in the show, because I got something for Texas a little later on in the show, because Texas was not ready at all. I promise you. They was nowhere near ready. They thought they was ready, but they wasn't. Let me do something.
They fucked up their whole shit.
Bruh. Hey, listen. They confused. But let me give a shout out real quick. Let me give a shout out to this group I've been following. It's a bunch of brothers and sisters that's in this group. It's called the Graduated Grind. I don't talk about a lot of groups, but I want to give a shout out to them, man. They've been doing their thing. Dwayne and Helen, is there any particular group that y'all play in or do anything in y'all want to give a shout out to?
No. Uh-huh. I don't give nobody free promotion.
No, it's not even about promotion. It's one of those things. Look, this group, sorry, I was refilling my water cup. I ain't got no personal assistant in the studio. But it wasn't so much about really, you know, because this is a Facebook group. I don't know if they're doing any business or anything in there. But, man, the brothers in there have been dropping some real knowledge, man. And it's one of those few groups that when I go into, like, it's no hate, it's no bashing, but they really do drop infinite wisdom. And I like being around people who can encourage, enlighten, uplift, teach, motivate, and encourage. And they are doing all of those things very well. So if you are on social media and you're looking for a good group to get with that's educating, especially on business practices, it is a great group to be in. Like, they don't necessarily promote other businesses, but they do a lot of teaching and a lot of information sharing, and I like that. So let's get into this. For all of y'all who are not in Florida, today is y'all's favorite day of the year. Do you know what day it is, Dwayne?
No.
Because this is not a traditional national holiday. But this is a holiday that's very well recognized everywhere outside of Florida. This is Hate Florida Day, because today is one of the few days of the year that Florida is the only area in the United States that is above 60 degrees.
Listen, man.
And if you go pull up on Instagram or Twitter or wherever, like, this is a real day. Like, people look forward to this day regularly. They hate Florida Day because they have the good weather. And like, and it's crazy because, like, even Jacksonville, which normally kind of gets a little colder and shaky because they're so close to the Georgia line, they still stayed above the 60s today. So shout out to Florida for staying warm, man. Fuck the rest of y'all that want to be in the cold ass.
Right. Y'all still crying because it's 60. Shut up.
Nobody want to hear this, bro. Nobody want to hear all that shit, bro. Y'all up there crying and shit because it's cold and stuff.
I ain't crying, man. I like all four of the seasons, man.
Man, fuck the season, bro. I'm a sensitive motherfucker, and I can't handle all that cold. I gotta be in
this is coming from a motherfucker that lived in two cold ass states half his life.
What two cold states
right.
was that?
Tennessee and North Carolina.
Okay, so let me correct you. Tennessee, I was only there for 4 years.
I don't give a shit. It's part of your life. It was
okay,
before high
said,
after high
said
school.
Half,
before
no,
after.
You said that. You said half. And
how old are you
North
now?
Carolina.
How old are you now? You what? You 39, 40, right?
I'll be 40. That's 4 years.
Right. Okay,
now,
so until you was about 17, 18 years old, you lived in two cold-ass states, did you not?
That's not the point. North Carolina
that's
don't
half.
Get as cold.
Is it not?
But first of all, you make it seem like the Carolinas is like
Fayetteville
do
not
they're
get
not
cold.
The same. They're not
Fayetteville
the same.
Don't get cold.
Not for nothing, South Carolina just got bad. South Carolina, North Carolina just got bad when it comes to winters.
Bro, when I was a kid, I only saw snow twice in my entire life in 14 years. No.
Okay. Hey, it's not about the snow. I'm talking about just being cold.
Okay, but back then the cold was bearable. Now in South Carolina, no, it ain't nothing compared to now. Back then,
listen, indeed, Duane, when we was in the desert, what did I tell you? I said when I go back to the United States, I am never living anywhere that's cold again. Remember that?
Yeah, you did say that, but I'm just saying, just in general.
So trust me, I knew who the fuck I was. That didn't sit right with me at all. I was a whole bitch. Y'all can kiss my ass if y'all think I feel some type of way. I don't feel. Listen, my wardrobe consists of slides, shorts, basketball shorts, and t-shirts. That's it. I don't want no long johns. I don't want no sweaters. I don't want a coat. Y'all can have all y'all people who believe, ooh, look at me, I got on this scarf and this such and such. Your kids telling on you, Duane?
My daddy ain't shit.
Oh. All right, listen, guys. I've been wanting to get into this story all since we started the show, but I had to get into those other topics first because, baby, let me tell you, this topic right here has been the highlight of my day. The bullshit that they have given Rush Limbaugh on the day that he passed has been the highlight of my day. And I'm sorry, if you listen to this and you feel like we shouldn't pick at Rush Limbaugh, I hope you go walk into a head full of traffic. Because here's why I say this. This man has been disrespectful to the black community. I don't really care about all the other ones because they ain't got nothing to do with me. But for my plight, he has been disrespectful to the black community my entire life. He has made money and profited it off of talking cash shit about us for my entire life. So shout out to cancer for getting one sorry motherfucker. And if you don't like that, so what? So be it. I don't feel no remorse for the words that I just said. I'm not going to feel no remorse. I don't care that his family lost him. I'm sorry. I keep telling people, y'all can't ask black folks to be sympathetic to people when they keep doing us wrong over and over and over again, and then y'all want us to feel sympathy for them. I'm not that person. I'm sorry. Don't ask me to be. Don't look for me to be. You can't spit on my face and ask me to go dance with that bitch. I don't give a damn if you got Alzheimer's. That's just how I feel about it. What? Come on, D. Remember what he said about the Rutgers basketball team?
Oh, yeah, I know. I know everything about what he said, what he stood for. I could care less about
I'm just saying, he should have been, look, if it was me, I would just like to have him have been slapped in the face with a mallet. That's just me. Okay, so I guess I'm alone in this because, you know, little Miss Hot Clip over there just sitting down all quiet, so we ain't going to talk to her no more. Now she over there, she's about looking at herself in the mirror, confused. All right, y'all.
Okay.
Your mama. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take this quick hot commercial break, muted. And then we'll be right back with Helen coming back with Black History is World History right after this quick commercial break.
Juvet, take me to the club, big dog.
Your main event to step in the square. They got some killers up in you and they hating the player. Disregard what you saw outside. Pay attention to the waist. I don't think you want a dent in your face. Say, I advise you, look daddy, to be cool. You came in with some shit on your mind, well, me too. I'm just trying to sip something. Me and Roy trying to flip something. We chilling, so quit ducking. I'm hard, like I've been on Viagra all my life. I put the stick down on me some meds every night. As far as I'm concerned, everything here is cool. So clutch on tight till you're hoping she sure can get it. Talk that shit, not walk that walk. I beat a hoe in the mouth and she can't talk. I catch you at the light with the car and park. Show you I finish anything I start. Look, if you don't want it, I advise you don't start it. You can get retarded, fuck around and get slaughtered. If you don't want it,
walk around and get slaughtered. If you don't want it, I advise don't start it. You can get retarded, fuck around and get slaughtered. If you don't want it, I advise don't start it. We can get retarded, fuck around and get slaughtered.
Get the fuck now, better get the fuck now. Get the fuck now, you better get the fuck now. Get the fuck now, you better get the fuck now.
I'm in the cut on a hunt for a high beef. Niggas all in my mouth like they got beef. Not me, nigga, you don't want my trouble. Cause shit can turn dark quick if I touch it. Not much, you just get bucked for your feet. Cause niggas don't look that tough when they sleep. And me, I'd rather be with a dime on the ground instead of checking this nigga for disrespecting my mind. Cause I'm Mr. Jones, a nigga with fists of stone. Split your bone, and we'll have to get the chrome. Fix your tone, unless you about getting old. A whole nother number, cause I'm past the shit you want. Get it, got it, good, gangster. My niggas out here would thank you, but I ain't wanna go that route. You know the deal, whether knocking niggas off or knocking niggas out for real.
If you don't want it, I advise you don't start it. You can get retarded, fuck around and get slaughtered. If you don't want it, I advise you don't start it. You can get retarded, fuck around and get slaughtered. If you don't want it, I advise you don't start it. You can get retarded.
Big Bappin' Friends is brought to you by August Sisters Homespun Emporium, LLC, providing certified organic source ingredients for addressing general holistic health, beauty, and wellness problems with Mother Nature's solutions. Consultant perks, wholesale and professional size products are available. Visit ashemporiumet.com.
Is world history. Jesse Leroy Brown was born October 13, 1926, in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Brown was a determined young person, excelled in his schoolwork, graduated from his high school with honors. The flying bug caught him early. At the age of six, his father took him to an air show, and it determined the course of his life. He read about aviation constantly and learned that black pilots did indeed exist. At that point, no African-American pilots had yet been admitted to the U.S. military, and the brash young Brown even wrote a letter to President Franklin D. Roosevelt to question the state of affairs. Brown applied to Integrated College, Ohio State, and supported himself in his studies by working several part-time jobs. In 1945, he learned that the U.S. Navy was recruiting pilots, and he applied. Despite meeting resistance because of his race, Brown was admitted to the program because his entrance exams were of such high quality. In 1947, he completed three phases of naval officer training in Illinois, Iowa, and Florida, including advanced flight training. Soon he was skilled at flying fighter aircraft, and in 1948, he received his Naval Aviator Badge. He received his Navy commission and became an officer in 1949. The newspapers paid attention to Brown's progress and his status as a commissioned naval officer made him a symbol of black achievement in black and white publications alike. He was profiled in both the Chicago Defender and Life. In the summer of 1950, the Korean War broke out, and Brown's ship, the carrier USS Lake, was sent to the Korean Peninsula. Brown and his fellow pilots flew deadly missions threatened by China's entrance into the war that November. On December 4, flying with his squadron of six planes over enemy targets, Brown discovered that he was losing fuel, probably the result of Chinese infantry fire. He crash-landed his plane and survived the crash, but his leg was pinned under the debris of his plane, and he could not free it. Brown's wingman Thomas Hutner, the pilot closest to him in the air, spotted Brown and took the unusual step of crash-landing his own aircraft to try to save him. However, Brown had lost a lot of blood and was already falling in and out of consciousness. An attempt to bring in a helicopter failed as night fell, and by the morning it was undeniable that Brown was dead. Although Brown died young, his story would inspire many African-Americans to become military pilots. Furthermore, the dedication by Hutner, a white man, for his squadron leader in the heat of war proved just how irrelevant matters of race could be in the military, which has so often been a historically volatile arena for race relations.
So tell me, what'd you learn?
Huh? His name ain't Leroy Jethro Gibbs.
You know what? God, you know what? Somebody come get this special needs child.
Woo! I had to put that in there because I had said that in the meeting. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could answer my question. A little slow, girl. What you learned?
He was a pilot from Mississippi. In the Navy.
Dwayne, you want to help out your special needs sister?
I'm with her. She was even a pilot that damn near killed herself.
What y'all two ain't gonna do is kill me today.
And the cookie crumbles.
Well, look, since y'all done learned them, we're gonna go ahead and move on. All right, so let's talk about this next segment here. I got.
What's you about? What's it?
I learned that you suck at book reports.
Okay, I won't do it no more.
Listen,
send it to the
women. Oh, well, you and the production manager are going to talk about that. They ain't got nothing to do with me. No, real talk, though. He was actually really an amazing person, and more so to kind of piggyback on one of the letters you did talk about that he wrote. He actually has several written letters that he had written throughout the course of his career about injustices dealing with black people in the military and aviation and just all around general injustices. So more so than him being a pilot, when I was reading about his career when I was a younger person, that is one of the things that always stood out about him to me, is that his impeccable ability to pick up a pen and write very, very well-written letters dealing with the plight of the black man or black woman. So that's what I wanted to add to what you had to say. But I wanted to see what you had to say about things, because I wanted to expound on that, ma'am. But anywho, as we jump to another subject here, let's talk about the All-Star break and the issues that the NBA is having with the All-Star break in the city of Atlanta, the NBA, the WPA, and just all the foolishness that's just going into it. D, what's your take on that, D?
They shouldn't have it.
Can I get you to elaborate?
Oh, my fault. No, I'm just saying they shouldn't have it because of all the restrictions that they have on people already. So if you already restricted people during away games, you can't have a whole All-Star weekend. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not going to be fun for nobody.
And for me, that was also my takeaway from it, too. I mean, I look at, and again, these are highly paid professionals. So when I tell people, I'm not looking at it from the professional spectacle of it being the NBA. I'm looking at it from just the wear and tear, the mental, the physical, you know, toll that this is now taking on them, as, you know, since the pandemic. And don't get me wrong, the pandemic has been ever-changing and evolving, but for the NBA players, and I'm saying this just as a fan, I think it's how they're getting treated and handled with this situation is just really, to me, just unfair. And what I mean by that is because you look at, they went into a bubble. They stopped the season at one point, then jumped into a bubble to literally, you know, fight to crown a champion. Less than 100 days after that, start in a whole new season and still have all types of postponements, day-to-day, you know, just day-to-day issues dealing with COVID every single day, and now you want to throw an All-Star game in the middle of a season that they don't even know if they're going to even, you know, really get a chance to finish because of all the foolishness that keeps happening and going on with it. And so for me, for the NBA to do something like this and make it about money, it hurt my pride a little bit as a fan. I would have had more respect for the NBA had they said, even if they wanted to do an All-Star game, if they put it in a better location where it wouldn't have attracted as many fans and as much attention. But to do it where you announce the city and kind of still put it together as if it was a traditional All-Star weekend, and we're talking about Atlanta. Atlanta is like,
you shouldn't. Let's put it like
South
this. You shouldn't have it. You
right.
Can't have it.
There's certain places.
I don't care where it goes. You shouldn't have it. It serves no purpose.
It really serves no purpose. You can. This is the year, and I get you. And I'm playing devil's advocate when I say that they, you know, could have did it in a bubble type format or whatever. I'm just saying if their focus is to make money, I get it. It's still a business. But there are certain places in the world when it comes to black folks, you just can't do nothing and expect black folks not to show up. Like you can't do Atlanta, Houston, New Orleans, Memphis. Like you can't do none of those places in the South and just expect black folks not to just show all the way the fuck up for no reason.
It's not that. I'm saying it like this is because the way the season is going, just in general.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it makes no sense.
So
you already postponed games. You postponed games already.
Mm-hmm.
You got players on teams that's not playing because of it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? Kevin Durant, just being around a person is shutting you down.
The whole Kevin Durant thing just didn't make sense to me. Because here's the thing. How do you put a person in a game, let him play the game, and then pull him? Like, if he had COVID at that point, then all of them niggas was going to get it at that point anyway.
It wasn't the point that he had it. It was just the people that he was around. That's the thing. Listen here. But then you're going to send a person out to Atlanta. What are you talking about? You're going to send these guys to Atlanta and they can't do nothing? Get the fuck out of here. You already lost them. And plus on top of that, they don't want it. The players don't want it.
The players didn't want to suggested having an all-star game. So the fact that when they suggested it, because I haven't heard a single, I mean, maybe I'm missing somebody, but I haven't heard a single NBA player say they want the all-star game.
And the sad thing about all that is because if you want to do it, you're going to have a week off. Just give them a week off. Give them just that extra week just to be home. You know what I'm saying?
They need it.
You know what I mean? You got right now, you know what I'm saying? That and plus you got a lot of players right now that's, I won't even say they low managing it. They low managing it. They're getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just because of the proper rest to work ratio, you know what I'm saying, got cut. You know what I'm saying? So you got out of the bubble in, what, October? And then by December, by Christmas, you back playing again? You had no real rest. You really wasn't able to go do anything with your family. You wasn't able to do anything. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as a lot of people who got out of the bubble, he went right back to working out, getting themselves together. You know what I'm saying? For the season.
Right, and that's what I said. That's the stress that they put on these NBA players, and that's what I said. I get it. I get business, and I understand no business wants to lose as much revenue as it's losing, but that's the nature of the beast. Like they say, everything has a give and take, and there's always a balloon that's a bust in business. And when you look at the curve of business in the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and just every business across the world, not just the United States, but the world, money and revenue was lost. But that happens when you don't handle situations the right way and take the time. Yes, they would have lost money regardless of the situation. But we have to start looking at, is the money worth making sure that we as a people continue to make it to the next day, next month, next year? And I'm sorry, but the All-Star game for myself doesn't do that. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have Helen's favorite part of the show, what day it is, so we'll be right back after this quick commercial.
I'm hanging it.
Wow. Why do you always gotta be on some, is it some bullshit?
Good night. Because
you always be on that bullshit.
Now, I can go and give you the worst one out of this one now, but don't be nice.
Good night, Helen.
All right.
Shut
so
up.
We don't do the night. The first one for the day, Helen, is Random Acts of Kindness Day.
What they got be nice to be told.
When did she have a pack or not?
Michelle, I done sold my seed shit.
Oh. All right. All right. All right. All right, for y'all religious people out there, today is also Ash Wednesday. So if y'all do that and celebrate that, and y'all know what that is, go do it. If you don't know what it is, go culturally appropriate, do it anyway. So we got that one. Now the third one, this one right here, this is a staple in most Black folks' house. So this is an easy one. Today is National Cabbage Day. Somebody, all Black folks have had some version of cabbage in their life at some point.
Oh, that was today. I had some fried on Sunday.
See? Told you. Ooh. Especially with some good fat back in it, too. Fried up nice and ooh. Now I want some cabbage. All right. We also have today Kosovo Independence Day. That happened in 2008. I was actually a part of that campaign and going to Macedonia in that region. So I like to celebrate things that I was a part of, and so that's a part of my history and my culture. Fuck y'all. I might not be from Kosovo, or may not be Bosnian, but bitch, I went over there in that region and played a part. So I'm celebrating.
Oh my gosh! And then people love acts. They love acts. Hello.
Let me have my moment in history.
I can't stand them motherfuckers. They stink. Women walk around with bloody tampons in. They nasty.
Wait.
They nasty.
I knew he was going there. Listen, Helen, you gotta know the story. You just gotta know the story.
I'm good.
You just gotta know the story. Now, here's the greatest thing about Rush Limbaugh dying today, right? Because today is Jim Brown and Huey P. Newton's birthday today. So You died on the birthday of one of the founders of the Black Panther Party. So I'm excited about that, bro. Like, you will forever in infamy. Black folks will never celebrate your birthday just because of the fact you died on the day of the founder of the Black Panther Party's birthday. I'm a shamefully plug every way that I'm happy that Rush Limbaugh died. And I'm not happy for someone dying. I'm just happy that he ain't here to spread his personal views of the dumb shit that man has said out of his mouth over the course of his life. So I am happy about that. All right, y'all. He tried to
walk some of it back, though.
Like what? Which ones he tried to walk back, D?
I can't tell you which one, but he did later on.
That shit don't matter.
Long ago.
Because that shit don't matter. You don't get to walk that shit back when you've been doing it for 30, 40, 50 years. No, sir. You don't get to walk that shit back at the end. Look, if you fuck a prostitute, it still counts as fucking a prostitute. So you don't get to say, ooh.
Hey, she was probably just needing some extra cash that day.
Here you go, D. I love you, man. All right, let's get into a couple things real quick, man. Let's talk about this real quick. So, law students at Harvard have signed a petition asking the school to not hire or have any affiliation with any of former President Trump's administration or senior officials. They said that anyone that help facilitate anything that he's done over the course of his 4 years in office should not be allowed to have a representation at the college. What y'all think about that?
You can't stop the alumni. It's cool that they got the power to do it, but You ain't gonna be able to stop the alumni from doing it.
And but here's the thing. You can stop an alumni. Here's why. This is what most people don't understand. When you get a degree, that degree is awarded to you by the power of that college and that state.
Understandable, but listen, most of those alumni send money. And then when they get into that political field, that bring more notoriety to your school. So now, all the stuff that you say, okay, let's just say Trump was an alumnus of them. So now you got to take all this, the paperwork saying with Trump name off of it. I'm an alumnus that I provide money, that I get money back to the school. Then you're going to take my name away from that? Come on.
But Trump is not an alumni.
I'm not saying him. I was just saying, just in general. You know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. But here's the thing.
They're not going to stop the money. That's the money.
That is money. But those donations from those alumni don't keep those seats in butts.
Yeah, I understand that. Your name of the school, you know what I'm saying? The name is going to hold weight. And yet again.
And listen, when you're talking about a super majority, and we're talking about of a school. This was started by the students, and when the super majority has wrote a petition and has majority of the students signing this, and on top of that, the group of people who signed this sits on the chancellor's board of the governing body of the school. So this isn't just like, you know, some first year freshman walking in the door saying something crazy. This is the people who have a vote and a seat at the table.
Yes, I understand that, but I'm just saying it's going to be hard to take away that money.
Well, it's up for vote right now. So I'm putting it out there. The petition's already been signed. The law section of Harvard has said what it says, and they're not saying that they can't do things, but they don't want them coming back to the school. They'd rather them go out and do other things. They don't want those people being teachers, faculty, or serving as any, you know, permanent role of instruction for the students that are currently there. That's their main takeaway from it.
Okay.
So, but it's a good article. Go read it if you guys get a chance to go read some more information about it. It's a really good article. I thought it was well written. I thought what the students was asking for. I don't think it's unfair because, you know, basically like what they said, they want to get away from the hatred, the vitriol, the bad policies that happen under the administration, especially the policies. Is one of the biggest things that they kept highlighting over and over, the policies that hovered over the administration, like the border policy and the legal abstract causes that came from behind it, Medicaid, Medicare, and insurance policies that came out of it, what happened with big businesses that came from it. Like, these are the things that they're talking about, and these things are, you know, were perpetuated by a lot of law people. And so when you're looking at law and you're looking at the foundation of law, and especially case law, there's a lot of things that happened under the last administration that it left a bad taste in a lot of lawyers and people in the legal field's mouth. So I get where they're coming from. All right, guys, that segment went by really, really quick. It is time for another commercial break. We will be right back after this quick commercial break.
I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. But your ass don't learn and your ass don't see. I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. But your ass don't learn and your ass don't see.
I stand 5'10", 200 100% gangster, don't smile and don't laugh. In a 3X shirt, nigga, 38 weight. I ain't small, motherfucker, I'm taking up some space. With a size 11 shoe that'll kick you in your face. Bitch, I'm all about a crime and ready to catch a case. I ain't scared to kick in your dough and look around your plate. I ain't scared to cock back the boat and put one in your face. Case deal, nigga, flavor deuce, deuce, and a third. Teflon coatingly body juice loose on the curb. I serve it like a tennis ball, straight up diminish y'all. I position in competition, and when I'm finished, y'all can clear the calendar. Call a coroner, tell the next again. We shot him like a cracker and stab him up like a Mexican. May he never flex again, not like he can. But just in case he get resurrected, it's best he understand.
I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. But your ass gon' learn and your ass gon' see. I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. I'm a G, nigga, you don't know about me. I'm a G.
All right, guys, let's get back into it because I got a couple. I got several more stories I really want to get into. And this next story, it's funny because the production manager actually just threw this in the chat. It is actually my next story that I wanted to talk about anyway. So did you guys hear the story about the guy Christopher Emmanuel? He's a guy out of South Carolina. Basically, the short and sweet package deal of it is him and his girlfriend had a baby, whatever. She did a whole bunch of stuff, basically forged documents, like he basically gave up his parental rights and then had his child adopted and sent basically off to California. He went through a whole bunch of legal stuff, won the case, got his child back. He now has custody of his daughter. Did y'all guys see that story?
No.
If you guys get a chance, go read that story when you get time later on. That story shook me to my core. And it just, because, you know, me and the production manager have been talking about, child custody, parental termination of rights, child support. We've been talking about those topics a lot. And just the good, huh?
It's funny that you mentioned this topic because my cousin has actually won custody of his twin girls. And I hate to say it like this, but the mother will be going to jail because she hasn't been doing right.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's very, like, I'm so happy that he's been battling her. They're five now. They'll be six in June. And it's just, he's been fighting like 3-4 years now. And I'm talking like this girl fought him, cussed my grandma out, my auntie, everything. Wouldn't let him see them. All kinds of stuff. Being despiteful and bitter. And finally, it's to the point where the judge told her, like, either you let him see them and you can, like, the judge legit told her, you cannot call him. The only way y'all are to communicate is through email, and you are to have them there every weekend for him to pick up. If not, you are in contempt of court, and you will go to jail. So for the past year, she has not let him. And he is getting full custody.
And good.
It's so much more to it, but.
I say good because let me correct something real quick, because I know people like to get sensitive when we talk about topics like this. There are good and bad on both sides. This is not just, you know, because a lot of people think when you, as men, when we start saying that we're happy that men are getting certain things when it comes to kids, that it's just a beef against women. No. There are fucked up baby daddies out there and husbands and fathers and all that stuff too. So let's not misconstrue the fact that someone's saying good in that particular situation, that father's getting everything that he deserves and those children deserve. But for me, I'm tired of the kids being the pawn in these games.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are the ones
that suffer.
Huh?
That's how it mostly be, because look, I can only speak on my experiences with it. can't speak on nobody else's. But you know what I mean? Like, with mine, it was more of, it was her. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was, it's crazy because she wouldn't let nobody, like, I couldn't, I had to talk to them through her. So, if she didn't feel like answering my damn phone, I couldn't talk to her.
And here's what's sad about it. We can enjoy somebody so much to have a child with them, but we punish the child in the relationship because we no longer want to get along with the other parents. For any mother or father who does not get that, I don't understand you. I get it. You're not happy because he moved on or she moved on. I get it. You wasn't happy with how the relationship ended. I get it that, you know, he or she may be doing better than you are now. I get it. They may have had a financial come up. I get every situation that a person can throw out there. But what I do not get for the life of me is why would we do that to our children? I know most people who have children, the first lie we say when we get pregnant or we find out our girl is pregnant or when we was kids or when we was early adults before we had children, and this is before children, I'm going to say it like that, BC, before children, the first lie out of our mouth is, ooh, I'm going to make sure my kids don't never have to worry about that. I'm going to do this the right way, boom, 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 boom. And then look at your raggedy ass. And I say this on both sides. Both sides, men and women, we have to start doing better by kids. The reason why most of our kids are traumatized in life is because of the bullshit that goes on in the house or around us dealing with just our mother and our father. Fuck the outside world. Hell, the outside world can't even fuck you up no more. You are so numb to the bullshit because of what you see in your own household from your own blood. We got to do better. We got to, man.
It's hard when it's, I'm not saying we're going to say it's one-sided. Most of the time it's one-sided. You know what I'm saying? And then when they, and once you get the people involved, that's where, like, I told my baby mother, my two older kids' mother, I said, look, once you get the people involved, don't worry about it no more. I don't play that game, you know what I'm saying? So if you feel like this is what they mind, because you went in there, this is what you wanted.
Yep.
What they gonna say, this is what you're gonna get. So if they put this on it, don't worry about it. That's what it's going to be. You're going to get what they told you. You know what I'm saying? What they think that our kids are worth. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're putting the, once you get the people involved, they dictate how much your children is worth.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
They determine how much your kids is worth. They determine how much time you get to spend with your children. They determine a whole set of parameters that they shouldn't have no business deciding.
Exactly. So if that's what you want, this is what it is. Now, it's hard to go in between the next, you know what I'm saying, all that extra shit, you know what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
as I told her, like, once they put that number up there, remember, and ask me for a quarter. I don't care if you're a penny short on gas, go pick them up from school. You gotta figure that out.
let's get a woman's perspective, because Lucy, I know you got kids. What is your thought on child support and child custody when it comes to a man? Like, I don't want you to necessarily have to talk about yours, but just in general.
In general, I mean, hell, both parts should do their part. The man shouldn't have to be involved. The AKA the white man, my bad. Let me clear that up. The white man shouldn't have to be involved. Everybody should do their part. Shouldn't nobody be dictating who gets to see who, when, where, how, blah, 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 blah. It's called co-parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got to put all that, what you and that person went through, put that shit to the side and focus on them kids. That's what truly matters, is the kids. That's why, like, personally, I'm glad I have the relationship that I have with mine, because we're best friends. Like, we have no beef. We've never had no beef. I mean, we may disagree and bump heads, but it's never been to the point where, oh, you can't see your child. You know what I'm saying? I'm the one baby daddy used to call me when a bitch fucked up and he wanted me to beat their ass. Like, that's how close we were. And it was to the point where, look, I got to interview these hoes first because they fucking up. They fucking up. Let me interview these hoes first.
Listen, first of all, ain't nobody that I used to
look,
be with interviewed.
Look, my whole thing is this: with his track record, with one of them putting their hands on his kids, the other one kicking his kids out the house, and the other one, she did. I can't remember exactly what it was she did. Yes, let me interview these hoes, because if the bitch gonna be in your life, that means she gonna be in my child life. So yes. Let me interview these hoes, because you picking the wrong one.
That's more about his dick than anything, but that's neither here nor there.
Look, it was so much. I was just like, me and him had to have a sit down look. Like, baby, I don't know what you got going on, what you doing, but I'm gonna need you to take a step back and reevaluate. But that's how close we are. You know, it's about the kids. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
And that's all it's supposed to be. That is the number one factor that I have. I tell people all the time, yes, I'm remarried. Yes, I have kids from my previous relationship. You know, my previous marriage. But at the end of the day, like I tell everybody, this is going to be a 100% respect across the board situation for everybody. And if we're not respected, we're going to get the fuck out of my face. Because I'm not arguing with nobody. I'm not going to be raising my voice and time and energy. If we can't be about the kids, I don't want to do it. I tell people right now to this day, with my oldest three kids, do I have a relationship with them currently? No, I do not. Is it my fault? If you want to blame me, you can, but what I'm not going to do is let somebody put me on child support and use a system to manipulate me and then tell me I still need to come and do extra shit. That's not going to happen. I'm with Dwayne on that. I'm with Dwayne on that. You, because D will tell you.
I agree, because you got some of them, they get like 1,200 to 1,500 in child support, and they still, you going to help with school clothes, you paying for the birthday party.
Helen, you want me to give you the exact number that my ex-wife got before she hit me with that question? The last time we had a conversation?
We've actually discussed it, go ahead.
She got $11,111.97 on November the 28th, and then asked me on December the 3rd what I was getting my kids for Christmas. Bitch, I got $6.47 in my bank account that's got to last me 10 more days. You better go. I told her you better go buy some gifts and write my name on that motherfucking card.
Don't
we ain't
even
had
do
a
that
conversation since.
All right.
As long as you know me, you ain't never see me you know, bash, get into it with nobody, no nothing. But these hoes be on Facebook bashing, but I be like, bro, you slept with this man. And vice versa, because I see plenty of men do it. I'm like, bro, you laid down with this woman. What is y'all doing? What is y'all doing?
All right, guys. Production manager is yelling at me. We got to take a quick commercial break. We will be right back because there's another relationship topic we got to touch on right after this. So we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Good.
I'm not getting involved with the hype. I'm too rich to get into a fight. 50 rack got my jeans fitting tight. Fitted price and them boys come and wipe ya. We had to dispose of the diaper. Yeah, we trap every week, every night. Where my movie too smooth, no indictment. Yeah, figures all lightning. 5790 in his biting. When I got a meal, I got excited. For the cash, I'ma turn to Michael Myers. But guess keep dripping, dropping. My wrist all liquid, watch it. Turn a bit, jump on my dick and pop it. Yeah, get a little bit to deposit.
Hey, flip.
Came through drippin'. Came through drippin'. Came through drippin'. Diamonds on my wrist, they drippin'. Bitch, what that ain't trickin'. Put on a knee, make a lick it. Protect on my wrist, and it glistenin'. Bitch got mad, I dissed
it.
Came through drip. I ain't never slippin', I'm a fan fit. Fuckin' with a $250,000 nigga with a feeling. What the mission, nigga, they be tellin' off a squirrel. Blast. Took a bit to pick a dealer, water in my ear, give a nigga wet willy. Came through drip, feelin'. Fuckin' with the bag. Tryna get my niggas all a million. Take it to the ceiling. Shootin' at the billion. Under one dealer. I can make a killer. Bass. Can you smell it when I back steal it? Flat nigga, throw it up, don't care about your feelin'. Ooh, what the deal, what you wearin', I be drippin'. Can't rip, can't hit a nigga, can't grip it. The bitch got thick, so I can she ate jiffy. If she leave with me, I'ma fly back to the.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Big Bap and Friends show. Now, y'all know we couldn't do this show tonight without talking about the trending topic of the week. And the trending topic of the week has been that B. Simone special you put out there. So I know y'all already seen it. I only got to remind everybody what she already said, but if I do need to. Basically, she went out there and talked about if we're going to be out here, man. Well, she was talking specific to the ladies on this. But she said, if we're going to be out there manifesting stuff, we got to be equal to what we're trying to manifest. And before I get into my thoughts about it, I'm gonna let the female of the show bring her thoughts to the show first.
Well, so see, my thoughts on this is, since that has happened, it has came out and she has been called out. She stole that from somebody else yet again.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean that's only reasonable. Like, you have to at least be what the hell you looking for. Because some of these people, they be reaching. They be reaching like motherfuckers. So, and when I say reaching, I mean, everybody has their preferences. But if you sit here and you trying to manifest you a man and the love of your life, be what you looking for so y'all can be equally yoked. That's it. I agree with the what it was saying, but B. Simone stole it yet again. So yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that.
I'm gonna say I don't agree with her, and here's why. And I know a lot of people are gonna say, "Oh my God, Beth, you always preaching stuff that she say." But here's the turn about what I feel like she missed in that statement of what she said. Was what she said right to a point? Yes. But here's the flaw that I have in her premise, right? None of those things that she talked about, a person is required to be in order to get the person that they require to be with. Because if you really look at relationships, two people being the exact same, being built the exact way, usually don't work. A person who's a gym rat being with another person that's a gym rat, usually those relationships don't work because there's no, you don't find balance in those relationships. A person who cooks doesn't want to be with a person who's also, two chefs usually don't get married. Most people in the same career field generally don't last. The reason being is because the relationship does need balance. There has to be some offsetting principle. What?
Sorry, you weren't supposed to hear that.
I don't know. You said
the
that I got worried.
Nah, the police. Sorry, my bad.
Somebody getting beat up again?
I don't know what the hell going on. All I know is they pulled up.
But in real honesty, in real earnest, y'all, we have to start understanding. If you got $3 in your bank account and you want a six figure man, I know plenty of broke bitches that done when they got them a six figure man. If you want a tall man, I know plenty of women that done when they got them a tall man. Like, I didn't agree with the premise. The premise is good, yes. Do we need to be doing better? If we want a healthy man, should we be trying to live healthy? Absolutely. Keyword is putting forth the effort. But just because you're not those things, doesn't mean that you can't have those things. Hell, when I accomplished the greatest things of my life, technically, I wasn't qualified to be there, but I did what I needed to do once I got there to be qualified. I continued to push the envelope. Nobody wakes up tomorrow a millionaire without doing what they need to do to get to being millionaire status. But to say that you got to be those things, I disagree with the premise. Because you're now putting putting unrealistic expectations on people that they don't have. I know plenty of people who make, I know plenty of celebrities or highly successful people who want people who are completely opposite of that, who want no limelight, who doesn't want any fanfare, who doesn't want any extra unnecessary, unneeded, unwanted attention. And I'm just saying that if we're going to put out certain things that we want, let's be balanced. I'd rather have a balanced relationship than Helen. You met both me and my spouse in person now. We are completely night and day, are we not?
To a certain extent.
I said major extent because we're very different.
Y'all are different to a certain extent, but then at the same time, y'all have some of the same qualities that make y'all so fucking awesome.
But it's the quality. But
like, both y'all mean.
Huh?
Sorry. Huh, hey, I love y'all.
Both,
I'm about
both
to get
what?
Muted. Nothing.
Dude, I'm going to stab this hole in the heart.
Muted.
I'm going to stab this hole with a metal straw in the heart. But anyway, But I'm just saying that, like this to me, because I'm looking at it, there's certain traits that you can have together. Like if both of y'all like to play video games, that's a good trait. Like we're just gonna need somebody to like clean up the house and watch the kids at some point. But you just, to me, I believe relationships are balanced. And if you're going to manifest a relationship, manifest a balanced relationship. That's what I think. You know, I don't know nobody that wants to marry somebody that or be in a relationship with somebody that's just like them. I think that would be annoying as fuck. That's my opinion. That's my take. Dee, what you got on that?
I could care less about the family.
That's my bro.
I'm just saying, this is general. Like, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah, if you want something, you gotta manifest it. But I don't give a shit how you manifest it. Just make sure you do it.
Right. Makes sense. All right, guys, let's get into a couple of these other topics before we have to wrap up the show. We have a couple of more things I want to get into here real quick. Did you guys see that France awarded citizenship to all the immigrant workers who were working as frontline workers? They have started the process to ensure that all of those people get citizenship in the country of France. I think that's a pretty awesome thing. Let's see. And in Houston, Mattress Mack has opened up his store as a shelter and has been serving food to all the people in Houston who need a place to stay. So if you know anybody in the Houston area who is need shelter, had any type of issues with their house or whatever, Mattress Mack has opened up his store location and is providing shelter, hot food, hot coffee, cocoa, and all types of things like that. So definitely check that story out. And I think those are all the major things that I have. I think the production manager said there's one other topic real quick. Let's see. I don't know what this is. Let me read this.
Check the chat.
It is, hello, President Jones. Let me read this. It is with a heavy heart. Oh, I had to delete the Wayne because I couldn't hear myself read. It is with a heavy heart I have to bear this message. Today around 6 p.m., my professor, Regina Ivory Butts, told a young man to take off his hood. After she said this message, she proclaimed to tell him that he wasn't on his way to purchase Skittles or sweet tea, hinting at the humorless murder of Trayvon Martin. As you can imagine, I am filled with repugnant rage, indignation, and frustration. Not only was the comments inappropriate and insensitive, it was also unconducive to the productivity in the learning environment. As an African-American man in these troubling times, I hope you understand my perspective. I am asking for you to take disciplinary action against Professor Regina Ivory Butts. The unfathomed behavior should not be tolerated at this university or any institution for that matter. I refuse to sit back and let ignorance make its way into my peers and I's academic career. Wow. I forgot all about that story. I read that a little bit earlier today, and I forgot all about mentioning that story. We're going to take a quick commercial break. If you guys want to call in, please call into the show, 563-999-3090. Again, that's 563-999-3090. Voice your opinion on any topic that we have. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Street executives.
Okay, I don't know what happened to the song, but only 14 seconds of that song loaded. So we are back on the air. All right, guys, it is literally my new favorite segment of the show time. And my new favorite segment of this show is called Black People Are Dope. So I am going to let my co-hosts go first and see who they have, if they have anybody. So, Helen, who do you have for Black People Is Dope?
Black People Is Dope. Let's see who I got. Shut up. Originally, I was going to do myself, but I thought about it. It ain't funny. I'm going to do myself next time. But I'm going to do my daddy. So South Carolina. This man goes above and beyond for any and everybody, regardless of how he's treated, even when he was in the hospital battling cancer. He still made sure his kids was good. And even now, being that he beat the cancer and he's out of the hospital, he's right back to working. He's contracted through FEMA, and he's helped so many people. Like, if they can't afford to have their roofs fixed, because my daddy, he does construction and roofing. So this has been a family business. I've known this business since I was before I could talk. And, you know, when he can and he has the extra products, he legit goes out and helps families that can't afford to fix their roofs so they don't have to go through the leaking or trying to battle to get their stuff fixed. So, yeah, my daddy dope.
Okay. Dwayne, who you got, boss?
I'm gonna go with Dave Chappelle today. From a quick little thing that he did, you know what I'm saying? He put it out there. We just talk about manifesting. He put it out there that he didn't want anybody watching the Chappelle show on HBO Max or on Comedy Central, even on Netflix, until his money got right, until they got him his, you know what I mean, got back straight with Comedy Central. And just a couple of days ago, he got back his license, he got back his name, and the show back. And they paid him, you know what I'm saying, just for, you know what I'm saying, and that's, he's just his true entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, so that's what it is.
Oh, I totally feel you. It's funny because I had an in-depth conversation with the production manager about that, because that was a good thing. Like, the thing that I loved about it was Netflix immediately pulled it, but the other stations and other areas that were still carrying it, people actually respected and not watched the show. Like, the ratings went, they plummeted as soon as he put that out there. And I'm just happy that, you know, for one of the few times in Black history and world history that people actually respected the request of the Black man without overkill in the backlash. So I'm happy for that, for him and for us as a people.
But you know what? Also with that, it helps. What he just did helps other entrepreneurs fight.
Yes.
For their, you know what I'm saying, their creative freedom. So,
yep.
Yeah.
All right, my person for tonight is Tanisha with the T Wilson. I don't know if any of y'all follow her. She's definitely a social media platform comedian. She has all the all the different little characters in her head. I think the one that she's most famous for right now is I'm a Rich Bitch. But I picked her because I really sat back and I've been watching her, and I went back and looked at some of her early stuff, you know, when she created the Shady character, then, you know, Lily and just all, you know, Trevor and the different characters that she's created in her head. Her work ethic. I don't think people understand the value of a great work ethic. And I've watched her for some time. I've looked at the skits that she's put out. I've looked at the performance things that she was doing pre-COVID, how she's trying to stay affluent, you know, post-COVID since it's come out and things of that nature. And I just wanted to say, I just commend the sister. And if you don't have a chance to go watch her, you know, and see what she does, go check it out. It's funny. It's humorous. And like I said, it's not a plug, but it's just, I like to give people the flowers while they're alive. And when I look at social characters or people that's using social platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to, you know, have their fame and have their name out there, she's one of the ones that I love what she does. I love the energy. I love the work. And I love the consistency that she puts into what she does. So that is my Black People is Dope segment person for the night. So, and we're going to keep doing this segment because I do think, as much as we talk about the history of everything that we have talked about in the past, I think it's only relevant that we talk about current Black people who are doing things, because it's important that not only we do it, but that it'll shine a light for us as a community to continue to shine a bigger light on the things that's really going on in our community, in our world right now. So that way we can inspire somebody to maybe possibly do something other than sitting on the couch eating a bag of Doritos. That's just me. All right. I don't think I got anything else. So let me see. Let me look. Let me see. What else? What else? Is there anything that I missed? I think I hit it all. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And if we come back, y'all, we're going to start wrapping up the show for the night. So we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Oh, when it all, yeah, it all falls down.
This the real one, baby.
I'm telling you,
I love Shy Town stand up.
Oh, when
it all falls down. Southside, we gon' set this party off right. Westside, Westside, we gon' set this party off right. Man, I promise. She's so self-conscious. She has no idea what she's doing in college. That major that she majored in don't make no money. But she won't drop out. Her parents to look at her funny. Now, tell me that ain't insecure. The concept of school seems so secure. Sophomore 3 years, ain't picked a career. She like, fuck it, I'll just stay down her and do it. Cause that's enough money to buy her a few pairs of new airs. Cause her baby daddy don't really care. She's so precious, with the peer pressure. Couldn't afford a car, so she named her daughter Alexis. Yeah, hair so long that it looked like weave. Then she cut it all off, now she look like Eve. And she be dealing with some issues that you can't believe. Single Black female, addicted to retail and well.
It all falls down.
And when it falls down, who you gonna call now? Come on, come on. And when it all falls down, man, I promise. I'm so self-conscious. That's why you always see me with at least one of my watches. Rollies and posses and drove me crazy. I can't even pronounce nothing. Pass that for safety. Then I spent $400 on this. Just to be like, nigga, you ain't up on this. And I can't even go to the grocery store without some ones that's clean and a shirt with a team. We live in the American dream. The people highest up got the lowest self-esteem. The prettiest people do the ugliest thing. For the road to riches and diamond rings. Shine because they hate us. Floss because they the greatest. We trying to buy back our 40 acres. And for that paper, look how low we a stoop. Even if you in a Benz, you still a nigga in a coupe. Come on, come on. And when it falls down, who you gonna call now? Come on, come on. And when it all falls down, I say fuck the police. bitch, that's how I treat them. We buy a way out of jail, but we can't buy freedom. We'll buy a lot of clothes, but we don't really need them. Things we buy to cover up what's inside, cause they made us hate ourselves and love their wealth. That's why shorty's hollering where the ball is at. Drug dealer by Jordan, crack kid by crack, and the white man get paid off for all of that. But I ain't even gonna act totally other than that. But fuck it, I went to Jacob with 25 now. Before I had a house, and I do it again, cause I wanna be on 106 and park, wishing a Benz. I wanna act for all of it like it's all terrific. I got a couple past due bills, I won't get specific. I got a problem with spending before I get it. We all subconscious, I'm just the first to admit. Yeah, come on, come on. And when it falls down, who you gonna call now? Come on, come on. And when it all falls down, Southside, Southside, we gon' set this party off right.
I played that song tonight because I need people to realize when you go through your highest and lowest points of life, do not for a single second think that you cannot come back or that you cannot fall. Learn to find balance in your life. Learn to find acceptance of who you are, where you are, and where you're trying to be. All right, man, let's bring the crew back in here because we got to get ready to wrap up this show. It is that time to get ready to do what it is that we do. So, Dwayne and Helen, y'all know what time it is. We got to give them that infamous
Let me just
word.
Say that message.
What message?
That message. What you just said.
Go ahead.
She can't even say that back.
Bruh, because I don't wanna break down because I've been there, so I know, like, I felt what he was saying.
She wasn't listening.
Boy, shut up. Don't you
But now, go ahead and respond on it, Helen.
Man, look. Them points where you feel like there ain't no way out, you drowning, and you just want to give up, I've been there. Just, 2 years ago? Bruh, that's one of the most trying, hard times just to keep going. But you got to. You even though you can't see the light at the end of that tunnel, you got to keep pushing. Because when that sun shines, it's going to shine. Whew. But I ain't about to get all mushy because I'm going to fuck around and start crying. So I'm done. This is it.
That was your word for the night, Helen?
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got, man, because that there was strong and it touched me. So that's all I got, man.
B, did you up, B?
I can't really give you one today, man.
That's all right. I got the word of the day for the show, then. I got it. I'm going to wrap the show up. Appreciate my co-host being here. Production manager, you can go ahead and take them all the way off the thing because I want to talk to the people before I go. Because I made several Facebook posts today, several lives, and my closing song tonight is exactly how I feel. Because so many people do not realize how hard it really is to fall. Like, there are people out here who go their entire lives with having safety nets completely up under them. But when you really, truly fall and there's no one there, there is no safety net. There is no bank that can get you out of your situation. There is no mom or dad. There is no legal ramifications. When you are emotionally, mentally, physically spent. at your lowest of your low, when you don't even feel like you deserve to live, those are the moments in life that you need a real friend. And I keep pushing this message and this narrative, learn how to be a real friend. Learn how to be that person that people look to. Learn to be that beacon of hope that people aspire to look up to. That's not being perfect. That's not always having it all together. That means you get up every single day, you give it your all, you give it everything you got. And I say that because somebody jumped in my inbox today, and I'm not going to say any names, I'm not going to say what was said, but I want you to know you inspired me to continue to go. Because they jumped in my inbox and they told me, they said, I know people won't understand what you were trying to say earlier, but you helped save my life. And if it wasn't for you saying that exact statement to me, I wouldn't be here today. See, what y'all have to understand is sometimes the hard, ugly truth is the only way that you can save somebody else's soul. It ain't church. It ain't Bible scripture. It ain't holistic ministry. It ain't nothing else but standing beside that person and physically holding them up and telling them it's going to be okay and I will walk through it with you, and actually walking through that process with them. Stop telling people you're going to be there for them and don't be there. Stop telling people that you care when you know you don't. There are people who are looking to your word as being the word that keeps them together. You sometimes are the only thing keeping some other people alive. They would have died had it not been for you, and you don't even realize it. There are a lot of people who have people like that in their lives. I know. I've been that person for a lot of people, and I carry that mantle with great pride. Not because I want the attention or I want the fame. Half the shit that I do for people, I never even ask for the recognition, nor do I want it. But the fact that they are doing better today speaks volumes for everything that I've amassed in life. I tell people my chest of equity runneth over because the people that I love are still here. There are hundreds of people committing suicide around the world regularly. Not because they don't think they can make it, because they know they can't make it in their mind. They have absolutely nothing to live for, not even their children. Be someone's reason to live. Be the hug that is someone's reason to live. Be the smile that is someone's reason to live. Not a business, not a look, not a makeup, not a car, not a house, but a reason. That if nothing else in their life is going right at 2 o'clock in the morning, if they absolutely needed a reason to live, they could pick up the phone and call your number, and you would be the voice that would answer the phone and be the ear that would listen. The most chilling story that I've ever had was a person once told me, had I not answered the phone when you called, I would have drove off this bridge. I was their reason to live. So I love y'all. I ask that y'all do better. I ask that we get better. I ask that we love. Love is an action word. I don't give a damn how you describe it. It's an action word. Love changes people if they are loved correctly. But without love, you destroy the crucible of their entire soul. I love y'all. I'll holla. Listen to this song. It'll bless somebody.
Beginning of this bloodline of mine, that spark that's in the nigga's heart, it calls him to shine before all the rhymes. Lessons that I keep in my mind, I owe you, and I'd give my right hand to show you. Whether it's fists or guns, whatever it go to, it's me they go through, if ever they want to. I'd line the flames, dead game and trying to scratch. K-A-S, I know where my dog's
at. And I'ma
at.
Be the one behind just to keep you on your toes. I'll be your extra eyes that hold you down around your foes. I'll be your extra gun. Need me, let me know. For my dog, I'll be the first to cock it back and let it go. They do it for the dough. Me, I do it for the love. You my nigga, to the death, so I treat you like my blood. If push comes to shove and they try to send you back to the street, I get my last to put you back on your feet. Feel me?
This is for my dog. 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 This is for my dog.
My nigga.
This is for my dog. This is for my dog. This is for my dog, 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 this is for my dog,
my nigga.
You're my dog, nigga, I die for. Bust a 5-4, see the judge and lie for. You the type of nigga I throw weight up on the block for. Just get ahead and lock yours, and your half, I got yours. Sending the dog, I smell it all night. I told niggas to shut up and write. Xbox with a hell of a bite. For the love, they always will be. Till they kill me, I put my thugs on it. The slug with my blood on it.
Dog. Big ups to your first shit. Yeah. Niggas know the deal, just wait for them plaques to get shipped. Do your thing, nigga, you know we got your back. Cause real dogs always return with food for the pack. Why these whack niggas swinging when they all gon' miss? Take it from me, he was nice before all this. Yo, X rain on him, cause after that comes the blood. Rough riders feed all they dog with raw blood.
This is for my dog, this is for my dog. This is for my dog, this is for my dog. This is for my dog, this is for my dog. This is for my dog, this is for my dog. This is for my dog, this is for my dog. This is for my dog, this is for my dog.
My people show love and haven't left me stranded yet. Though I have a death wish that ain't been granted yet. So until then, I'ma be that nigga all up in your chest. Until the Lord decides to lay my ass down to rest. Bless the body at the funeral and hope I don't burn. Was a hard-headed nigga and nope, I don't learn. Saw the truth but chose to ignore it. Wasn't going for it till a nigga had to give it to me. Then I thought, this is clear as day. I know here's the day. I'ma be on my way. Nothing more to say but take me, Lord. Make me, Lord, what you will. Really wanted to chill, but learn how to kill. It's been downhill from then on, cause I've been on shit and on. Every move to get 10 on the next act. But you know that's how the X act. That's why these street niggas is waiting for the next track.
This is for my dog. 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 This is for my dog.
My nigga.
This is for my dog. 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 This is for my dog.